Hey friends, it's Maggie here. I'm Maggie's Yappin' with the Wine Geeks. Today I've got my best friend, BZ Bubs, on, who's known in the biz in Boston. Well, more than Boston. But yeah, he pretty much knows what he's talking about when he talks wine. And I get to talk wine with him all the time. Lucky me. Today we're talking about champagne, because that's what we're drinking. And hey, BZ.
Hey, Mag.
How are you today?
Doing awesome. What a beautiful day.
Oh, my gosh. It's gorgeous. It's November, you guys, and we're sitting outside on November 6th, and it's a beautiful day outside. It must be at least, I don't know, 72 out right now with a beautiful wind, and normally in Boston we'd be freezing cold, and it's just absolutely gorgeous out. We're so lucky to have this great weather. Anyways, more important stuff. Champs. Bubbles. Love them. So we're drinking today. We're drinking a beautiful grower champagne. Thank you, BZ. Thank you, honey. Grower champagne. I don't know really what that means, but Bob's going to tell us all about it. But first, I have a question for you.
Ask away, Meg.
When I go into stores and things, and when I hear just people talking, because you know how I like to listen, I always hear people asking for, like, Clicquot or, like, some other big house champagne. And I'm wondering why. Like, why? Why?
Well, champagne was the last wine where people still just learning so much about the area and about the wine itself. So people were very intimidated, and they just went to the big brands. It was because of the price. You know, they weren't ready to expand their horizons. So they went with safety. And obviously, with Louis Vuitton, Clicquot, and Moët are the safest products. But there you're getting kind of middle of the road, so to speak.
With the champagne, yeah, because I mean, I can't, to be honest with you, it bothers me when I drink that champagne. I can't, actually.
You're a very spoiled puppy.
I am a bit spoiled, I will admit that. But like, how is that it's middle of the road? What does that mean? How do they make it middle of the road?
I don't think they make it middle of the road. They make it safe. So I guess, you know, you want to appeal to a mass audience, and you want to, you know, you just want to have the flavor profile, not dramatic, which just appeals to so many people.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Maybe that's it, because I love my drama.
Yes, you do.
So I'm going to make an analogy. I'm thinking, like, for me, for, like, biscuits, I could go to any store and get a specific brand of biscuits and be happy with it and be okay with it. But if I really wanted something that, you know, was good, I'd go to like Polka Dog Bakery or like, Polka Dog Bakery, because they make their own things.
Very good
really,
analogy.
Okay.
People who are kind of doing, taking a little more care and precision of what they're doing.
Okay. So it's not bad champagne, it's just that it's mediocre as far as how the quality.
It's hard to make bad champagne. The quality of the region is high, but it's just safe.
Ah. All right, I'll go with that. Now, let me ask you something else about champagne, because I don't know a lot about it either, is it? So I'm wondering, like, as far as what grapes can you put in champagne?
Well, there's a lot of permissible grapes, but basically 99.9% only use one, two, or three of the following grapes: a white grape Chardonnay, and two red grapes, Pinot Noir and Pinot Meunier.
Pinot Noir I've heard of. Pinot Meunier?
Yep.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that. Is that a small grape?
Well, no, there's a lot planted in champagne, and it can provide a good length, earthy quality of the champagne. Some of the best champagnes, like Krug and stuff, have a good percentage of Pinot Meunier.
And it's a red grape?
Yep.
And Chardonnay, you said, is a white grape that's in champagne?
Yep.
Chardonnay?
Chardonnay.
Chardonnay?
Chardonnay.
Is in champagne?
Chardonnay is in champagne.
That's amazing to me. I just was talking to somebody recently, too, about Burgundy, and they, you know, that's just amazing, that Chardonnay grape.
It's pretty killer grape done well.
So it's not only done in Napa, huh?
Not only done in Napa, it's the most adaptable white grape in the world. You can plant it in so many climates and get so many different flavor profiles.
Good to know. So let's get back to like champagnes. So there's different regions, yes? Now I've heard of like Epernay and I've heard of Rennes. And we're talking champagne, we're talking northwest of Paris, pretty much. Like, it's not that far away, is it? I remember driving there. Northeast? Yeah, see, I don't drive very well. I'm better in the back seat. Okay, so it's northeast of Paris, probably not that far, right?
If you take the fast train, you can get there in 90 minutes.
Wow, that's pretty cool. All right, so there's different regions. Tell me about the regions.
Well, Reims and Epernay aren't regions. They're the two main centers where most of the houses are located, the chateaus are located.
What does that mean?
Just like having a chateau in... Well, the grapes are planting in different parts of Champagne, but when they bring it into the chateaus, the wines can be made there. And also where they take visitors and the hospitality areas. So, and Reims and Epernay are the two main ones. And then there's another one called AY.
So you're telling me that, like, when you make the wine, it's not made where they grow it, they bring it into the city?
You bring it into the city, it can't be grown in Reims or Epernay.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So they really keep it like farming land, huh?
Yeah, and Champagne, like any good wine, it's only about farming. It's only about the product in the vineyard.
Very cool. So you got Epernay, and you have Reims, and you have
Aye.
Anything else?
Yeah, then you have Le Perrier's and Tour-Saumon.
Okay, Tour-Saumon. All right.
I think they're the only producer in there. There's nothing else there. Jean Laurent, which we're tasting, which is a grower champagne, is in Aube, A-U-B-E, which used to be part of Burgundy.
Oh, now we're talking Chardonnay.
No, we're talking the champagne which you just drank, Maggie, was 100% Pinot Noir.
You're kidding me.
No, but just think, Burgundy, Chardonnay, and Pinot Noir.
Oh, okay. All right. So I wasn't too far off with the Chardonnay.
No.
But this is 100% Pinot Noir.
Correct. That's why it's a Blanc de Noir.
So Blanc de Noir means that it's...
white from black grapes. Noir, black.
So there's absolutely no Chardonnay can be in it. In a Blanc de Noir wine.
Correct. That would be from red grapes. It could be Pinot Meunier, but no white. White from red grapes.
Oh, Blanc de Noir. Now I get it. So Blanc, white from red.
You are correct.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I never thought put that together.
Exactly.
Very cool.
You're a very smart puppy.
So this wine, that this delicious grower champagne, what do you mean by grower champagne? Isn't it all grown?
Well, it means when the person who grows the grapes makes the champagne. And so in other words, they're not purchasing any grapes. Everything is from their property. This producer has been growing grapes for hundreds and hundreds of years. But the first one was, now the current owner, it was the grandfather who came out with the first wine in 1950. Everything is from their property. They own 30 acres. Most of it is Pinot Noir, a little Chardonnay. And they're actually experimenting with another grape, Pinot Blanc.
Oh, interesting. So let me talk to you. I'm going to look at this label for a minute. And I'm looking at the front label, which is very pretty. And I like pretty. But then I turn it around and look at the back label. And there's a lot of information. And I have no idea what it's saying. So I'm thinking, okay, I see 100% Pinot Noir, which now I know is Blanc de Noir. And it says Brut after that, which I don't know what that means.
That means dry.
Okay.
And if you see where it says 6 grams?
It says dosage 6 gram.
Anything under 12 dosage is considered Brut dry, but this is even on the Brut scale, dry for Brut.
Okay, I like dry.
So do I.
It goes really well with food.
It does. We just had a delicious lunch, you and I, after you had the dog food. We just had shared a little swordfish, which you enjoyed.
I did.
And you especially enjoyed the cold cuts.
Yes, I love those.
But you can't have mustard on them. Too spicy.
Too spicy, but they do very well with bubbles.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got the dosage, which means how dry it is.
Correct.
And if it's under 12, that's good.
It's under 12, but 10 to 12 would be sweet for a Brut.
What do you mean?
Six is considered, for Brut standards, on the dry side. Even though Brut is dry, this is even tending to the driest of Bruts.
Okay. And that's good.
That's good.
It also says disgorged. That is a weird word to me.
So it's the last step before they release the champagne. What they do is they freeze the neck of the bottle.
When you say release the champagne, are you like letting it, you let it out to the dogs? What do you do with it?
Release it to the public.
Okay.
To the public.
Okay.
So what it's saying is the last step, disgorgement, if you can see, it was disgorged, I believe, in April.
Yes, it's April 2022.
Where you take the bottle, you freeze the neck,
ooh,
and you release some of the yeast.
Oh.
Products. I believe you saw it at Mum's when you were there and everything.
Did I?
Yeah. But you were too busy running around.
I think I really liked being inside those calves, so
yeah.
I think I was, I had more fun running around.
Yeah, that's true.
Plus, they were giving me champagne.
Yeah, then there you go.
Yeah. I get a little lost when I have my champagne.
Yeah.
Okay, and then they also have down here that it says imported by hand-picked selections.
That is the name of the importer. In this case, a very good importer, Dan Kravitz is his name, who started it. And he basically deals with a lot of, well, he does some stuff from Spain, from Argentina. He's mainly dealing with France. A lot from southern France, Languedoc. A lot from Burgundy, and a couple of houses from Champagne. But with him, you can be pretty rest assured the quality will be pretty high.
Okay, so I'm gonna go back to that, because now I'm thinking, like, as if I don't know a lot about wine, so I'm thinking if I see his name, that name, Handpicked Selections, because I do like this champagne, if I see it on a bottle of wine when I'm shopping for it, I'll be more apt to buy it because I'm looking at that importer. Is that a good idea?
I think that's a very good idea. Well, it's not.
I had a good idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
Smart
Can I
puppy.
Get this on record?
Smart puppy.
Thank you.
It's not 100% foolproof. Dan is pretty conscientious, very knowledgeable in wine, and he tries to work with growers or producers or co-ops that are really meets high standards and great values.
Okay, so look for the importer and find, if I find a wine or a champagne I like, look at the importer and go check that out rather than looking so much at the front label, because I get confused sometimes by that front label.
Yeah, a lot of people just do beautiful artwork, and sometimes that can be deceiving.
Yeah, well, I do like pretty. I will say that. But
you're a pretty puppy.
Aw, thanks, VZ. Thanks, HB. Excuse me. Okay, so now let me ask you about the name Champagne. Is it true that to be called Champagne, you have to be from that region?
100%. And it was used a lot till recently as a term to use, like we use the word Kleenex. Nobody asked for the word tissue. They used the brand Kleenex. It was almost like Champagne was a brand name. You know, any sparkling wine in the world was called Champagne.
Yeah.
But now we're getting more knowledgeable, and we're getting more strict to realize, and more people realize in order to be called Champagne, has to come from the Champagne region of Champagne, France.
Okay. So you can drink something, like everybody loves Prosecco. I'm not a big fan of it, but everybody drinks a lot of that. So you can't call that Champagne because it's not from Champagne.
You are 100% correct, Maggie.
Does Italy make good champagne?
Italy can't make champagne.
What do you call it then?
Sparkling wine.
Oh, sparkling wine equals champagne.
No.
No?
Champagne region in France also makes some still wine. So the wine champagne is named after the region. It's like in Bordeaux, Chateauneuf-du-Pape.
So it's just the region.
But most of the wine, 95% that comes out of the region in Champagne, is sparkling.
Okay. And you said still wine. I don't know what that means.
Not sparkling.
So you're talking red and white?
Yeah.
Oh. So what would you call it in... Oh, in Italy, you'd call it sparkling wine.
It could be Franciacorta, where Cardovasco's man. That's the region, Franciacorta. Prosecco is a designated region in Veneto.
Oh, it's a region? I didn't realize it was a region. And so, like, when you see the champagne, sparkling wines out in California, it's just because you can't call it champagne. But is it made the same way?
Yes. Rotorua Estate is fantastic. Schramm's very great. And they made just similar to champagne.
Yeah, actually, I was just at Mum's out there. That was delicious.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Actually, I was at Mum's in France, too, now that I think about it.
You lead a pretty good life, puppy.
I think I do, actually, now that I'm... Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But it was sparkling wine in Napa, and then in France, when I was there, it's champagne.
Correct, because it's from the region of Champagne, France.
Oh, see, so this is why I get confused. I have a little brain.
No, you're pretty smart for a puppy.
Okay, I'm trying to think. Anything else you can add to this?
Maybe that was good for the first one. I think, you know, a lot of knowledge passed on, and, you know, let's absorb that knowledge. Maybe next time we'll talk about food pairings in champagne.
Well, that might be kind of fun.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
It's a deal.
Have a great day.
Thanks, honey bunny.
I love you.
Cheers. Cheers, everybody.